All right, we'll say good morning. Good morning. Let's begin. I want to thank Greg and Rachel Levitan for dedicating this shiur this morning in the as a mazel tov to our mishpacha on the occasion of the engagement of our daughter Shani, Baruch Hashem, and to David Lassen, the son of Ayi and Johnny Lassen, Baruch Hashem. We thank the Levitans very much for the sponsorship. Halavai the Chassan and Kala should be zocha to stand under the chuppah together. B'shah tova u'mitzlachos. All right, we'll say let's begin. Let's begin. Mem Dalid Amud Aleph, second line. Chati Yisrael. So we'll remember again, we're focusing a little bit on the episode with Achan. And remember again, Sefer Yehoshua, Achan partakes of the spoils of Yericho. Mem Dalid 44a, second line down. Achan partakes of the spoils of Yericho, which was prohibited. As a result, when the Jewish army goes out to war against Ai, the city of Ai, they suffer casualties. Yehoshua is told, ultimately, as we saw yesterday, somebody partook of the spoils. They did the whole goral, they did the whole lottery. Achan is found to be guilty, and now we're picking up on that story. So Chate Yisrael. So Kosh Baruch Hu tells Yehoshua that Klal Yisrael has sinned. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Afa Pi Shechate Yisrael. We will say, by the way, these are such beautiful Elul Gemaras. Right? So what does it mean, Chate Yisrael? Here's what the Gemara is picking up on. Even though they sinned, the Ribono Shel Olam calls them Yisrael. Called, right? So what do you see from here? You see that Yisrael, afal pi shechata, Yisrael hu. Even though a Jew sins, he's still called Yisrael. What does the Rebbe say? That even when we make mistakes, the Ribono Shel Olam never excludes us. Even when we make mistakes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never chas v'shalom ejects us from the klal. But Yisrael, afal chati Yisrael, afal pi shechata, Yisrael hu. Beautiful Gemara. I'm Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, Hainu da'armi inshi. This goes along with the famous colloquialism of people. Asa dekai beni chilfi, asa shmei. Even a myrtle branch that is among the willows is still a myrtle. It's still a myrtle. Va'asa karale. And its name is called the myrtle. In other words, we'll say, another way of saying, once a myrtle, always a myrtle. So the idea being, once a Yisrael, ultimately always a Yisrael. Incredible Gemara. V'gam avru es brisi asher tzivisi osam. So remember again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yehoshua, and they have violated the covenant that I have commanded them. Gam lakchu min acherim. They took from the cherim. Right? The cherim refers to the property of Yericho, which was off limits. Gam ganvu, they stole. Kachashu, they denied. Samu b'keleihem, they placed in their utensils. Amr Rabbi Yilayim Yishon Rabbi Yehuda bar Misparta Melameid Sha'avar Achan Al-Chamishe Chum Sheitora. From here we learn that the fact that Achan took, what the Gemara's understanding over here is the following. Achan's taking of the spoils of Yericho was a manifestation of a morally bankrupt attitude and personality. So the Gemara now is going to discuss all of the other averos that unfortunately Achan engaged in. So the Gemara says, Achan in fact violated, when it says he was over on Chamishei Chum Sheitora, the five Chumashim, which means Achan was over on Kol HaTorah Kula. Right? He violated the entire Torah. Where do we know this from? Shene'emar Chamisha Gam. Because it says the word Gam five times in that pasuk that we just quoted. It says Gam five times. What's unique about the five? What's unique about the five is that he violated the entire Torah. Va'am Rabbi Eloi, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda bar Misparta, Achan Moshech bar Lasohaya. Achan tried to make himself look uncircumcised. What's the point of making himself look uncircumcised? He wanted to hide his Jewish identity. Ksiv hacha v'gam avru es brisi, v'ksiv hasam es brisi hefer. So we'll say it says, Agam Avru Esbrisi, they went ahead and they violated my covenant. And it says, ultimately, again, Esbrisi Hefer in Bereshis. Just like Bris in Bereshis is referring ultimately again to Bris Mila, so it's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Achan negated the Bris, it means he tried to hide the fact that he was circumcised. So the Gemara says, Pshita, meaning, isn't that obvious? What does it mean, isn't that obvious? At the end of the day, once you tell me that he violated all five of the Chumashim, that he violated Kol HaTorah Kula, so that he made himself try to look uncircumcised, what's the great chiddush in that? To which the Gemara says, I might have thought, Ma'u d'teima b'mitzvah gufei lo pakar. I might have thought that although he violated the Torah, when it comes to a mitzvah on his body, he was not chas v'shalom, he did not try to go ahead and negate that. Kamashmala, know that even a mitzvah bigufo, even a mitzvah of his own body, he tried to negate. V'chi asa nevala b'Yisrael, and he committed this nevala, right? This travesty in Klal Yisrael. Really, we'll say, nevala doesn't just mean a travesty or iniquity. Nevala usually means something of immorality. So Rabbi Abba Bar Zabda Malamed, Sheba'al Achan Na'araha Mehurasa. The Nachan had relations, Achan had relations with a girl who was betrothed to someone else. Ksif Hacha, it says here, v'chi asa nevala, uksif hasam, ki asasa nevala b'yisra. So both say, the Gemara is using the Lashon ultimately again of nevala in both of these contexts. It says nevala by the Nara HaMehurasa, who is violated by another man, and it says nevala over here by Achan. Pshita, so both say, what the Gemara is saying over here is, I don't understand. Once you tell me that Achan violated Chamishe Chumshe Torah, that he violated the entire Torah, so what's there to talk about with all of these specific averos? Once you tell me he violated Kol HaTorah Kula, he violated everything. Maudite Makule Hailo Pakar Nafshe. You know, we'll say, you know, even Jewish Rishab are tzaddikim. You know, even a Jew who's struggling a little bit with his ruchnius, or even a Jew who's struggling a lot with his ruchnius, like he doesn't keep the Chamishe Chumshe Torah. It's a pretty significant struggle. But Lamaisa, we assume even such a person like that has their limits. You know, they might be a sinner, but every Jew always has that thing. He's not going to, I would never do that. I'll do everything else, but I would never do that. So we might have thought that again, an Ara Muras, an act of adultery, so Achan wouldn't do. Kamash Mullah know that he did. So the Gemara said the following, Ravina says, Dine Kinara Murasa, the Biskila. Achan was judged like a Na'ara HaMurasa, the same way that a man who violates Na'ara HaMurasa, or a Na'ara HaMurasa who willingly engages in relations with a man who is not her husband, is killed with Skila. So too, Achan was killed with Skila. Amar Rish Kalusa Rafuna. Rish Kalusa said to Rafuna, Amalei Rish Kalusa Rafuna. Ksiv Ha, Ksiv, it says, Vayikach es Yoshua, Vayikach Yoshua, es Achan ben Zarach, ve es Hakesef, ve es Haaderes, ve es Lishon Hazav, ve es Bana, ve es Benosa, ve Sharov, ve es Chamro, ve es Sano, ve es Valo, ve es Kala Sharlo. So the Gemara says the following. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took, that Yoshua took, excuse me, Achan the son of Zarach, and took all of the silver, the clothing, the bars of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, everything he owned. Everything he owned. So says the Gemara, Imhu chata, banav ubenosav machatu. If Achan sinned, ultimately again, why are his sons and daughters considered to be culpable? To which the Gemara says, Amalei ulatameich, Imhu chata, kol Yisrael machatu. But I say one can make even a better argument. If Achan sinned, why was all of Klal Yisrael held accountable? Remember, Rabbi said, we saw before, that what happened, that first of all, Klal Yisrael was brought out to the execution of Achan. Not only that, but as we're going to see, 36 soldiers died in the war of Ai, seemingly because of the misstep and mistake of Achan, to which the Gemara says, rather, ultimately, again, Moshe Rabbeinu tells all of Klal Yisrael, together with Achan's family, to assemble by Achan's execution, Lir Doson. Look at Rashi, Lir Doson. Shiru es kilkulo, v'izaru ba'atzman v'lo yosifu lim ol b'cherem. Ultimately, again, he wanted everyone to see what was going to happen to Achan. For what purpose? So that ultimately, again, they should not repeat the same mistakes. We'll say this is a general idea as to ever, whenever we punish, we always punish in a very public fashion, because l'mais, at the end of the day, it should serve as a deterrent for future negative behavior. V'yisrifu osam ba'ish, v'yiskulu osam ba'avanim. So we'll say this. So the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu assembled all that belonged to Achan, burnt them in fire, and stoned them with stones. The Gemara says, I don't understand. The Gemara says, Betarti, why do you have to stone them and burn them? To which the Gemara says, Amar Avina, Haroi l'sreifa l'sreifa, Haroi l'skila l'skila. Those things are both said that could be burned, were burned. In other words, everything that Achan owned was destroyed. So those things that could be burned, like clothing and things like that, were burned, but those things that could be stoned, like livestock and other things, were stoned. Ve'ere b'shaval aderes shinar achas tova, umasayim shkalim kesef. So we'll say, so the pasuk goes on and says that in the spoils that Achan took from Yericho, They saw an aderes shinar, which was again, so we'll discuss this in greater depth, some type of crown, some type of beautifully jeweled crown. Umasayim shkalim kesef, 200 shkalim of silver. So the Gemara says the following, Rav Amar, itztila demilsa. What's this aderes shinar? So Rav says, itztila demilsa. If you look at Rashi, he says, talis shel tzemer naki ben yomo, shemechabnin oso lamilas mabishan lavo, mabishan levush, shelo yislach lutzamro. So we'll say, so this apparently was a fine woolen garment. Shmuel amar, sarbala detzirfa. Shmuel says, no, that it was a woolen garment that was colored with some type, Rashi says over here, tzavua betzif shekorim alum. So colored with some type of alum. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Vayatzikum mifnei Hashem." They went. So Yoshua brought them before God. Amar of Nachman ba v'chavtam mifnei hamakom. So we'll say this is actually an amazing Gemara. Yoshua brought the items that Achan had stolen, and Yoshua brought them, and he threw them down before God. Meaning, almost like Yoshua, we're going to see, was angry. He took them and he threw them down before the Ribono Shel Olam, and he said, "Amar lefan of Ribono Shel Olam al elu teharig ruba shel Sanhedrin." Because of these things. Because of these things, because of these few things that Achan took, the majority of the Sanhedrin should be wiped out. So what does this mean? Dechsev, vayakom ehem anshe'ai kishloshem v'shisha ish. Because also the Pasuk says that in the battle of Ai, they lost 36 men. So 36, he's using that number to represent the majority of the Sanhedrin. So because of these things, because Achan took these things, 36 people, the majority of the Sanhedrin should die. V'tanya shloshim v'shisha mamish. So we'll say Zev Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to have a machol because Rabbi Yehuda says literally 36 men died in the war of the Ai. Amar lo Nechemya, v'chi shloshim v'shisha hayu. Did you really think 36 men died? V'halo, we'll say first wide line. V'halo lo ne'emar elo kishloshim v'shisha ish. But see, if you look at the pasuk doesn't say 36 men died. Rather, what does it say? Like 36 men died. Who are like 36 men? Elo ze Yoir ben Menashe. This refers to, we'll say, one man died. One man died in the war of Ai. His name was Yoir ben Menashe. Sheshakul keneged ruba shel Sanhedrin. Rebosei was as virtuous and as holy as the majority of the Sanhedrin. Amrav Nachman, Amrav. So Rav Nachman is the name of Rav. Maitichsev, Tachnunim Yedaberash, Va'asher Ya'ane Azus. Rebosei, what's the meaning of the pasuk? From Mishlei, literally Tachanunim Yedaberash, that supplications, the poor man will speak supplications, Va'asher Ya'ane Azus. But the rich man speaks in stronger or more abrasive terms. What does this mean? So the Gemara says, Tachnunim Yedaberash, Ze Moshe. So we'll say, so the poor man literally speaks in supplicatory tones. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. The idea is that when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he spoke always in a calmer, softer tone. Va'ashir ya'ane azus, and the rich man will speak in more abrasive tones. Ze Yehoshua. But so this is a reference to Yeshua, based on the previous Gemara, came and was really upset at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, because of these things, he takes the things that Achan stole. Because of these couple of things, you're going to punish Klal Yisrael in such a dramatic way. To which the Gemara says, my time, from where do you know? Ultimately, again, that Yoshua spoke in a strong way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to say, because the pasuk says that Yoshua literally placed them down, or really put them down in a strong fashion before God. Rav Nachman, ba v'chavtan lifnei hamakom. Right, and Rav Nachman said that what did Yoshua do? Yoshua brought the spoils that Achan had taken and he threw them down. Chavtan, Rabbi said, literally means like slam them down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a display of wrath. Atu Pinchas lo aved hachi. I don't understand. But Pinchas also took this approach. We'll say what happened with Pinchas. Tichsiv vayamod Pinchas vayipalel vateatzer hamageifa. The pasuk says, and Pinchas stood vayipalel. We'll discuss what that word means in just a moment. And the plague started. We'll say this is after the episode of Zimri and Cosby, right? Remember again, if the episode of the tribal prince of Shimon engaging in public immorality with the Midianite princess, there was a plague that gripped Klal Yisrael. Pinchas kills both of them, stopping the plague. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? We normally, even the Gemara understands, Vayama Pinchas Vayipalo means he daven. So the Gemara says, it doesn't say he daven. That would be Yispalo. It says Yipalel. What does that mean? Melamed Sha'asa Pelilos im Kono. Rather, I will say what it means is he entered into judgment with his creator. What does that mean? Meaning, Yosef, entering into judgment means he entered into an accusatory mode with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ba v'chavtan l'fnei amakam. He brought the bodies of Zimri and Kazbi. He threw them down before God. Amar l'fan of Ribono shel Olam. Al elu yiplu esem v'arba elef miYisrael. Because of these two, 24,000 Jews should die. In other words, the Pinchas came almost like in an accusatory fashion with the Ribono shel Olam. Dechsev, v'ayu ameisim v'magefa, arba v'esrim elef. The pasuk says that those that died in the plague were 24,000. The elam ha'cha, lama ha'avarta. So rather, the pasuk says, lama ha'avarta. Lama ha'avarta ha'vira sa'am ha'zeh sa'yardin. So we'll say. So Yeshua says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu something amazing. After they suffered the setback in Ai, see, I also have to understand something. Klal Yisrael was promised that we were going to overtake Eretz Yisrael with no problems. No problems. Obviously, we have to fight. But Lamaisa, there were promises of no casualties. There were all these promises. When they had 36 casualties in the Ai, and remember again, the Ai is only the second battle in Eretz Yisrael. They're new now. Again, they're fresh off the victory with Yericho. But Lamaisa, this was a major, major setback. So Yeshua essentially says, Ribono Shel Olam, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why did you cross us over? Why did you cross us over the Jordan? Right? Why did you bring us over the Yarden? For what purpose? So the Gemara says, Moshe Nami Meima Amar. So the Gemara is using this as Rai that Yoshua spoke sharply with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, well, Moshe Rabbeinu also spoke like this. Lama Hari Osa La'am Hazeh. Ultimately, again, Moshe Rabbeinu says the same thing, right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu threatens to punish Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu says, What are you doing? El Mehacha, Veluhu Alnu Veneshe Be'evra Yardin. Yoshua says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? If you weren't going to fight our battles for us, it would have been just as easy for you to what? To leave us in the Transjordanian lands. Just let us live on the other side of the Jordan. Vayomer Hashem Yoshua, kum lecha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to Yoshua, get up. Good up. Kum lach, get up. So what does this mean? I both say, the way the Gemara is understanding kum lach is God is saying, Yoshua, you're putting all the blame of this at my doorstep. You share some of the responsibility for this setback as well. What does this mean? God says to Yoshua, your role in this setback is even worse. In other words, you have greater responsibility in this setback than Klal Yisrael. How so? Ani amarti vaya ba'avrachem es hayarden takimu. So we'll say, remember again, Chosh Baruch Hu commands us that when we cross the Jordan, we are to go ahead and set up 12 stones, and on those 12 stones, we're supposed to record the entire Torah. Again, possibility also in 70 different languages. And you were supposed to do that on both sides of the Jordan, but you were supposed to do it immediately upon crossing. So the Gemara says, Va'atem richaktem samich mil, basra denafik okim. And you first traveled 60 mil, and only then did you set up the stones. I asked you to set up the stones immediately upon crossing the Jordan River, and instead you traveled 60 mil. I'm angry at you. So the Gemara says, Rav, Okay, Rav Amora Elei v'darash. So we'll say, so Rav set up his Amora and he darshed in the following idea. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe Avdo, kein tziva Moshe es Yoshua, v'chein asa Yoshua, lo hesir mikol davar sher tziva Hashem es Moshe, im kein, ma tamud lomar, amr le ata garanto lem. So we'll say, listen to this. So it says the Gemara, I don't understand. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Navi explicitly says that in the aftermath of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua was appointed as leader. And what? Yoshua did everything that the Ribono Shel Olam asked of him. If Yoshua did everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked of him, so how is it that God is laying blame at Yoshua's feet for things that have happened to Klal Yisrael? V'ahinu dekamar lei, boi va'asis la'ai ulamalka, kasher asisa li'iricho ulamalka. So we'll say, listen to this. So, I'm sorry, let me just go back for just a second. Amarle, atogaram talahem. The Gemara's answering over here is the following. What does it mean? Chosh Baruch Hu says to Yoshua, it's your fault. So what he's saying is like this, and this is actually amazing. If you look at Rashi, atogaram talahem, shelo hayulacha le'esra le'ehem, bizas yiricho. This is amazing. God never, Rosham never instructed that there should be a cherem on the spoils of Yericho. The Ribbono Shel Olam never said, "Hey, remember again, is when you can't partake of the spoils." The Ribbono Shel Olam never gave Yehoshua that instruction. That was his own thing. Yehoshua made this decision. Again, he's entitled. He made this executive decision that the spoils of Yericho should be Cheirim. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, what happened with Achan was your fault. Was your fault. I never told you to make the spoils. I never told you to make the spoils into a Cheirim. You did that of your own volition. Who told you to do that? Who instructed you? Again, it's your right. You're within the confines or within the framework of your powers as the leader. But who told you to do this? There's enough stuff that's usur already. You don't have to start adding on more isurim. And because you did, Achan therefore stumbled. Therefore, Yehoshua, you could be upset at me. You could think that I'm taking this too far. But at the end of the day, you're the one who created the circumstance. How do we know that Yehoshua is going to create the cherim? So the Gemara says, "V'hainu d'kamalei boy va'asisa la'ayu l'malka kasher asisa li'yericho u'lamalka." So ultimately, again, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yehoshua, "Do to the Ai and its king, just like you decided to do to the Yericho and its king." So Gemara is dashing in the pasuk, just like you of your own volition decided that Yericho should be cherim. So now I, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm saying you should do the same thing ultimately for Ai. So the Gemara goes weiter. Vayhi bios Yehoshua b'Yericho, vayisa in ha'biasavos. So continuing on going back actually a little bit, while Yehoshua is still in Yericho, so what happens? He lifted his eyes, vayar, and he sees. Now the pasuk over here is quite dramatic. Vayar, vihine ish omed lenegdo, v'charbo shalufo biado. So ultimately, again, he sees a man standing opposite him with an outstretched sword. Vayelach Yehoshua elav vayomerlo halonu ata im latzarein. So let's imagine the scene. Yehoshua, by the way, is alone. He sees a man opposite with an outstretched sword, and he has one simple question. What's the one simple question? Friend or foe? Right? Are you with us or are you against us? So says the Gemara, Vayomer lo, I'm not against you. Ki ani sar tzva Hashem. I am one of the angels of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Atabasi, I have come now. Yehoshua therefore fell on his face. He prostrated himself. He prostrated himself before the angel. So Gemara says, "Hechi avin hachi." How did Yehoshua do this? In other words, what Gemara is asking over here is, how is it that Yehoshua bowed down to someone at night after Avraham Rabbi Yochanan? Aser lo la'adam sheyitin shalom lechaveiro balayla. Your person should not give shalom to his friend. I will say what they're talking about over here is a person should not greet his friend at night using the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Chayshinon Shema Sheidhu. Because maybe it's not my friend, maybe it's a shade. I will say, the idea over here is, this is talking about, obviously, again, in more remote areas, where also where shadim often frequent, whatever that means. And again, obviously, the illumination is not so great. Obviously, you see someone at night, and you know he's not a shade, you can give him shalom aleichem. But the idea is, what the Gemara is saying over here, is that Lamaisa, how could Yehoshua have bowed down to someone who he did not know in the darkness? So we not have to be choshesh that perhaps it was a shade, to which the Gemara says, "Shiny awesome de kamerlei ani sar tzva Hashem atabasi." Well, it's different because why? This being identified itself as one of the angels. So because it identified itself as an angel, Yehoshua believed him. Fidil Meshakri, shadim aren't always known as the most upright, trustworthy entities. So perhaps it was a shade, but he was lying. To which the Gemara says, Gemiri, Dilamath Kishen Shain Levatalis. You both said this is an incredible yisod. Even if you're a shade, even shadim, there are certain things that I'm not going to do, even though I'm a shade. And one of them is, they don't use HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain. So when this entity identifies itself as Sar Tzvachos Hashem, Yehoshua knows that it's a malach. So we'll say, now the obvious shayla is, Malach Hashem, welcome. Why are you here? So Amrlei, Emesh bitaltim tamish al-bein harbayim, va'akshe bitaltim talmud Torah. So the Malach says, I'm here because Yehoshua, you are mevatel two things. You negated two obligations. Number one, yesterday, you did not offer up the daily communal sacrifice, the afternoon tamid, and that was yesterday. And tonight, the people are being mevatel Torah. Tonight there's no battle going on. The people should be learning, and instead they're engaging in bittul Torah. So the Gemara says, Yehoshua says to the Malach, "Nu al izim en basa, tell me." So I understand we violated both of these things, but which one are you here for? In other words, what Yehoshua is really asking Rabbi Osai is, Which one is more severe? Okay, I understand. We missed the carbon, yesterday's carbon. That we can't fix. We're being bevat. We should be learning now. We're not learning now. Okay, so tell me which one is considered to be more severe? To which the Ma'alot says, Amrlei, Atabasi. I have come for the iniquity of now. In other words, I've come now because of Bittul Torah. Which, by the way, is an incredible, incredible yisod. Now, the Torah tells us, by the Jewish army, V'haya machanecha kadosh. V'haya machanecha kadosh. They were fighting battle that day, right? They were fighting war that day. So you could imagine, again, after a day of fighting, they're exhausted. That's fine. But when the Jewish soldier is not fighting, he has to make sure to find the time, of course, to sleep and to eat. That's not a shayla. But also to learn. But also, so the Malach is saying, listen, this was your first day as a your first day in Eretz Yisrael as a formal Jewish army. V'haya machanecha kadosh. Ultimately, again, the chayal, the soldier, has to be able to learn when he's not on the battlefield. No one's learning. This is Bittul Torah. Therefore, I'm here. To which the Malach says, Amal Atavas Miyad, V'hayalen Yehoshua Balaylehu B'socha Emek. That night, Yehoshua literally means he slept in the Emek, in the valley. What does that mean? Va'am Rabbi Yochanan, melamed shalan ba'umka shal halacha. What it means, we'll say, Emek is a metaphor for the valley or the depths of halacha. That Yehoshua led the people in communal Talmud Torah, ultimately, again, chasing away or dispelling any clouds of Bittul Torah that hung over the people. Amr Shmuel bar Unya Mishnei Durav, Godul Talmud Torah, Yosem Hakravas Tmidin. We'll say, what do you see from here? You see that learning Torah is even greater than offering up of karbanos. Where do we know that from? Shene'emar Atabasi. Because remember again, the Malach says to Yehoshua, I'm here for two reasons. You did two things wrong. You negated the offering of the karban tamid yesterday, and you're not learning Torah now. And Yehoshua says, no, but tell me, which one is the more grave sin? To which the Malach says, Atabasi, for the infraction that you're engaged in now. So you see from here, that Talmud Torah is even greater, ultimately again, than offering of karbanos. Amar Le Abaye the Rav Dimi, Sabai said to Rav Dimi, Haikra b'ma'arava b'may mukmasleh. So in Eretz Yisrael, as we're going to see, they used to explain the following pasuk in the following way. We're about to quote the pasuk. What's the pasuk? So the Gemara is quoting over here from Mishlei. It's actually a beautiful pasuk. Al teitze l'riv maher, do not be quick to fight. Do not be quick to fight. Pen matase ba'achrisa. Because what will you do at the end of the fight? Bachlim oscha re'acha. When your friend embarrasses you. Okay? So first of all, I'll say, just even without explaining the pasuk in a deeper way, Shlomo Melech is teaching us some very good lessons. Don't be quick to fight. Because l'maisa, what happens when you fight? We all know, I will say, that what begins in one way very easily descends into multiple other things, and people say things and do things that they very much regret later on. Riv chariv, listen to this. If you have to fight your fight, then fight. Riv chariv esreacha. So fight the necessary battles with your friend. Visod acher al tagel. But never reveal the secrets of your friend. I was going to say, what does this mean? If you're having an argument with someone, you could have that argument with that person. Don't bring other people into the fold. And don't start revealing other people's information in the heat of the argument you're having with the individual. Now, what does this mean? B'shash amar l'akadosh baruch hu yecheskel, lech emor lahem liyisrael, avicha hemori v'imcha chitit. Right? So, Kesh Baruch Hu is upset with Klal Yisrael. So he tells Yecheskel, remember Yecheskel is the Navi Hashem, and he's going to deliver a message of rebuke to Klal Yisrael. So get ready for this. So Kesh Baruch Hu tells Yecheskel, go and tell the Jewish people that their father was an Amori and their mother was a Chiti. Now both say, now who is this a reference to? This is a reference to Avram and Sarah. This is the Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avosenu. So when Kadosh Baruch Hu is so upset that literally again he's maligning the Avos and the Imos, saying, look at you people. How could I expect anything better from you? You come from the Amori and the Chiti. I will say, now that is a big, big shtach. That's a huge shtach. Because it's not just the shtach against Klal Yisrael, it's the shtach against the Avos. Not only that, it goes against one of the primary principles that the Ribono Shel Olam himself espouses, which is Lo Sonu Es Hager. And I will say, there is a very important mitzvah. It's a mitzvah v'yach lorecha kamocha, but there's even a greater sensitivity that has to be expressed to the convert, right? And one of those ways in which that sensitivity is expressed is not making reference to their Gentile background, right? It's the same. So here you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu going ahead and saying, Yecheskel, tell those people who descend from the Chiti and the Amori, Avram Avinu and Sarai Imenu, tell them how displeased I am with them. So we'll say, this, by the way, is a wild, wild Gemara. So the Gemara says, and Rashi points out over here, Avicha Amori, Terach v'Avosav Niknan Bo, right? Because Terach, Avram Avinu's father, and his forefathers came from Franklin from Canaan. So Amra Ruach Paskonis. So we'll say, this is interesting. So a Ruach Paskonis. Now, the way to translate Ruach Paskonis, so we'll say, is a chutzpedik maloch. A chutzpedik ruach, a chutzpedik spirit came along. Now, who is the chutzpedik spirit? So Rashi says over here, it's Gavriel. So the Malach Gavriel, even though, again, the Bach changes it, he takes it out, but we'll go with Gavriel for now. So we'll say, the Gra changes it. He says, Eino came, but we're going to go with Rashi, what Rashi says. So the Malach Gavriel, they will say, I guess there are certain Malachim who have a kind of closer relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, that they could say things that you and I should not try. So the Malach, listen to this. So the Ruach Paskonis comes along and says, L'fei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Im Yavo Avram V'Sara V'Yamdu L'Fanecha, Ata Omer Lohem, U'machlim Osam, Ribono Shel Olam, Chutzpah. And if Avram Avinu and Sarimena were here to hear you say this, would you say this in front of their face and embarrass them? So Gavriel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Riv Chariv, if you have a fight with Klal Yisrael, go fight your fight with Klal Yisrael. Esriyacha, visod acher al tagel, but do not go ahead and reveal the secrets of others. So the Malach is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, if you've got beef with Klal Yisrael, good, take it up with them. Don't embarrass the Avos and the Imos. There's absolutely no reason for you to malign Avram and Sarah in this discussion. We'll say, by the way, and you see this happens all the time, where people get into arguments. And then what happens? Well, you try to make your point. So again, well, you know, Chaya Bracha told me this. And then what happens? You just brought Chaya Bracha into this whole thing. Or you know, Reuven Shimon told me this. And so what ends up happening is the circle of machlokas is so dramatically enlarged because now ultimately, again, more people have been brought in. So the Malach says to Chaya Bracha, if you've got a problem with Klal Yisrael, keep it about you and the Jews. Keep it about you and the Klal. Don't bring in Avram and Sarah in this. Umi islei reshus akolehai. Does a Malach have reshus to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like this? Ruach Paskonis have that reshus in. Then Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Shalosh Shemosh Yeshlo. This spirit, what the Gemara calls this Ruach Paskonis, has three different names. What are the three different names? Itmon, Sigron, Piskon. So the Gemara says, Yeshlo, Piskon, Itmon, Sigron. Why does it have these names? Piskon, Sheposek Dram Klapi Mala. So it's called Piskon because it delivers some pretty harsh words to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Itmon, Sheotem Avonoseim Sheyisrael. It's called Itmon because it's able to go ahead and literally shut out the Averos of Klal Yisrael. Sigron, Kevan Shesoger Shuvena Poseach. Sigron because it is the greatest power of advocacy. And once this spirit finishes advocating on behalf of Klal Yisrael, no other malach, no other spirit could advocate on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara goes vaytri. So now the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Iov. Hayaroch shu'acha lo bitzar. So the friends of Iov say to him, literally translated, Hayaroch shu'ach, have you arranged your tefillah? Shu'ach is tefillah. Have you arranged your tefillah lo bitzar, while you're not suffering? They will say, what the friends of Iov are asking Iov was, did you dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu even before your suffering began? Amar Belazer, li'olam yakdim adam tefila litzara. A person, Rabbi will say, should always be makdim the tefila, should always go ahead and daven before the tzar. So we'll say, so what does that mean? How do you daven before the tzar? What the Gemara is teaching us is an incredible yisur, Rabbi will say. Sometimes people wait to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu until moments of tzar, moments of difficulty, moments of challenge. What the Gemara is saying is, don't wait to forge a relationship with God until you are in acute distress. but rather, again, a time, first, number one, because often it doesn't work. When a person is in acute distress, very often all of their emotional and spiritual energy is devoted to just keeping themselves afloat. And often I don't have time for God. I'm just trying to keep myself alive through the day. But more than that, I will say, again, the goal is to create a meaningful relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu when things are calmer. That's the time. That's what it means to be matim the tefillah to the tzar. To have a strong relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's not created in the midst of turbulence or difficulty, but that is created again during good and quiet times. So that unfortunately when the turbulence does come, which inevitably it will, I already have that strong relationship that could serve as my anchor. So the Gemara goes right to the Gemara says, She'el male lo hektim Avram tefillah letzara bein beisel ubein ha'ai lo nishtayer merishe yisrael sardapah. Most of this is amazing. Avram Avinu, when he's traveling through Eretz Yisrael, davins between Beit El and Ai, which is the area where generations later Yahushua would lead the army. That was, again, coming full circle. That's the war where initially we lost 36 soldiers because of the sin of Achan, or whatever, 36 soldiers or one soldier. Had Avram Avinu not davened there and given a schus for Klal Yisrael in that makom, the losses would have been so much worse. Which Gemara is teaching another incredible yisod, which ultimately is that what we do has such a beautiful impact on future generations. Often we're not here to see it, right? Often we're not here to experience it. But when we engage in positive, dynamic, spiritual activity, the incredible positive impact that has on present and future generations, I will say, is often immeasurable. Avraham Avinu davens. Does Avraham Avinu know that he's davening for Yehoshua, that he's davening for his Einik Lach, because they're going to be in war against the Ai? I would assume not. But yet, it was the tefillos of the Zeda, offered so many generations earlier, that ultimately went ahead and helped Klal Yisrael. An incredible idea. Rish Lakish Amar, Kala Ma'ameitz Asmo B'Tfila Milamata, Ein Lo Tzara Milamala. So that's another beautiful idea. Anyone who literally strengthens himself in tefillah in this world, the no one could advocate against him in the celestial sphere. They both say, what does this mean? The idea being tefillah is a dialogical connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. Once I establish that relationship, then nothing else in the celestial sphere has the power to advocate against me. For one simple reason, I don't need them. I don't need them to advocate for me. I don't need them to advocate against me. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because I have a direct relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, this is actually in Yoni Dioma, in Slichos. You know, there's a beautiful paragraph of Machnisei Rachamim. Right, we say Machnisei Rachamim, right? Tachnisu Tfiloseinu. So we speak about the Machnisei Rachamim, those who bring in the supplications. It's a reference to the Malachim. So the Tfila is a quite beautiful one that we say to the Malachim, bring in our Tfilos to davening, bring in our Tfilos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So also you know that the Chaim Brisker and others so were very much against that Tfila and did not recite it as part of Slichos. Why? Because they felt, I don't need to ask for Machnisei Rachamim. I don't need to say to anyone, Hachnisu Tfilaseinu. I don't need to ask anyone to bring my tefillah before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for one simple reason. I speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't need an advocate. I don't need an intermediary. I do not need anyone to intercede on my behalf. All I need is to speak directly to my Father. And that's the Gemara saying over here. If I take my tefillah seriously, I establish this dialogical connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one could advocate against me above, because in the celestial sphere, because my relationship is directly with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Le'olam Yevakish Adam Rachamim, Sheyu Akol Ma'amtzin Eskocho, Va'al Yiyu Lo Tzarim Milamala. Person should always ask Rachamim, ultimately again, She'akol Ma'amtzin Eskocho, look at Rashi, She'yisayu Malochi Asharis, Le'vakish Rachamim, V'shelo Yiyu Lo Mastinim Milamala. V'achi mashma haya. Shavosai said that this is a different version. Rabbi Yochanan says that you should always akoma amtsnes kocho. Person should daven that although I'm going to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, whatever angelic assistance I can get, I will absolutely welcome, and none of the malachim should advocate against this. Shavosai, you see, there are these two different conceptions in tefillah. Reish Lakish says akoma amitz atzmo betefillah. work on your davening, create for yourself a strong dialogical connection, and you have a direct connection with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, there's no need for any type of angelic intervention. And Rabbi Ochran on the one saying, listen, sometimes we struggle with tefillah, because you struggle with tefillah, the dialogical connection is not as strong, and because it's not as strong, I do need other advocates. And so there's nothing wrong with a person davening ultimately again, that the Malachi Asharis should help me. I don't daven to the Malachi Asharis, but that they should help me ultimately again, Levaki Shrachanim. They should help lift me up so I could come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just two different conceptions and frameworks of tefillah. Good. So let's remember again, the way we started with this whole thing is because the Mishnah said that before the defendant is about to be executed, we have him do vidui, we have him confess his sins. And anyone who confesses his sins is automatically forgiven in the world to come. So the way we learn this is from Achan. Achan confessed his sins, and Yeshua therefore said, you are forgiven. So it says, how do we know that Achan was forgiven as a result of his vidui? So Yeshua says, Achan, the same way you uprooted us, God should uproot you today. Hayom hazeh, the Gemara says, Hayom hazeh ata achor, v'ata achor li olam haba. Today you will be uprooted. In other words, Yeshua says to Achor, we're going to execute you, we're going to kill you now for your sin, but you are forgiven by God in the world to come. Uksiv, ubnei zerach, zimri, ve'isan, ve'heman, ve'kilkal, ve'darda, kulam chamisha. So the Gemara says, my kulam chamisha. It both says, we're going to see Zimri is actually Achan. What does it mean, all five of the sons? Kulam chamisha and the olam haba. All five of Zarach's sons were B'nai Olam Haba. So from here you see also that Achan went to Olam Haba. So the Gemara says, Ksiv Zimri, Ksiv Achan. So we'll say Achan is known by two names. It calls him in this pasuk Zimri, but yet in Yoshua he's known as Achan. So which one is it? Is he Zimri? Is he Achan? Rabu Shmu Achad Amar Achan Shmo. One says his name was Achan. V'lama Nikra Shmo Zimri. So why was he called Zimri? Sha'asa Maisa Zimri. Because we'll say he committed the same types of immorality like Zimri. Right? Zimri was the tribal prince in the story with Pinchas. V'chad Amar Zimri Shmo. Others say no, his name was Zimri. V'lama Nikra Shmo Achan. So why do they call him Achan? Ultimately, again, she'ichin avonosein she'isra. Because Rabbi say again, Achan, Rashi points out, there's also loshon achna, like Tanar Shal Achnoi, which also means a snake or a serpent. He literally encircled Klal Yisrael with his sin, just like a snake wraps itself around its prey. So Achan wrapped his sin around Klal Yisrael, and ultimately, again, we were held collectively accountable for his sin. Im eni odeh lesvados, Yehuda amar l'nakol satzman. So also remember again, the Gemara also points out something very interesting here, which is the Mishnah said that when doing vidui, if the defendant is supposed to say, "Tehei misasi kapara kol avonasai," let my death be an atonement for all of my sins. So the Mishnah said, "Well, what happens if the defendant thinks that he's innocent? Right? He said he did. So then, what could he say? Tehei misasi kapara kol avonasai chutz mizu." My death should atone for all of my sins, except for this episode. What do I mean, except for this episode? Because I'm not guilty of this crime that I'm accused of. So Rabbi Huda said, if that's the case, that you let the defendant make a statement like that, then what Rabbi Huda said, every single accused is going to make that same statement. Why? Because every single person most people accused of a crime, a sentence to death, profess their innocence until their very last breath. And therefore, Rabbi Huda said, if a person is professing his innocence, then he's going to lose out on the potential for kapara that vidui affords him, to which the Gemara says, v'yinaku atzman. So what's the big deal? Listen, if the accused decides to claim his innocence until his last breath, then let him do so. To which the Gemara says, k'desh lahol tzilas abat edin va'ala edin. Rabbi said, we have to be careful also to maintain the integrity of the Beis Din and maintain the integrity of the witnesses. And that if every single person going out to be executed always does the same vidui, Temisasi kapora kol avonosai chutz mizu, it looks strange for the Beis Din, looks strange for the Edim. Turn Rabbanan. We'll also listen to this Maisa. Turn Rabbanan. Maisa ba'adam echad sheyatza leharik. So there was once a man who was being taken out to be executed. Amar, im yesh bi avon zeh, if indeed I am guilty of this crime, lo tehei misasi kapar lechol avonosai. So also, the man made a very dramatic statement. If I am indeed guilty of the crime you are accusing me of, and that I'm about to be executed for, then my death should not atone for any of my sins.
for any of my sins. So we'll say, it's a very dramatic statement. The man was saying, I'm unequivocally innocent of this crime. And the proof to that is, I'm willing to make the statement that if I'm innocent of this crime, if I am guilty of this crime, then my death should not atone for any of my averos. So the Gemara says, but if ultimately, again, I am not guilty of this sin, then my death should be an atonement for all of my sins. And I hereby absolve the Beis Din and Klal Yisrael for the fact that they are putting me to death wrongly. But the witnesses who testified against me, who now, because of their testimony, I'm going to be subjected to death, they shouldn't be forgiven forever. They will never have my mechila. I will say, now when this statement actually occurred to Kishashem Chacham Medavar, so I will say, when this statement was heard, it was very jarring. It was very jarring. And as we're going to see, what ultimately happened over here, well, fine. Kishashem Chacham Medavar, Amru, so when the Chachamim heard this, they said the following. Lachziro i'efshar, shekvar nigzura gizera. Now he says a very dramatic statement. I will say, for a person to make a dramatic statement like that, we assume that there must be something to his words. So, but to go ahead and bring him back to Beis Din, we can't do, because the verdict was already passed. And again, remember, there's no new information. It's not like he's presenting any new information, he's just making a dramatic statement professing his innocence. So to bring him back to Beis Din, we can't do. Ela yeharig. Rather, again, we're going to carry out the execution. V'hekolar taloi b'tzavar edim. But at the end of the day, you know, literally the yoke is around the witness's necks. In other words, that Beis Din says, we really hope that the witnesses are telling the truth. To which the Gemara says, Peshitta. But it's obvious you can't retry the case. So the Gemara says, Kol kamine. The Gemara says, V'chi kol kamine. So we'll say, remember again, look at Rashi. V'chi ne'eman hu dechashirin le'sa'adi le'meimar ye'kola tala b'tzavar edim. So we'll say, the Gemara says, I understand the guy's making a dramatic statement, but why would we believe his statement any more than the Edim? In other words, we've vetted the Edim as we've seen, we've investigated their testimony, so obviously just because he makes a dramatic statement before he's going to be executed, doesn't mean we would believe him. To which the Gemara says, Lotzicha, listen to this, Dika Hadri Beis Sahadi. We'll say, what's the case over here? The witnesses were recanting. Whereas when the witnesses heard this dramatic statement, that the person who's about to be killed, executed, says, I am not mochel the Edim, the witnesses said, you know what, we changed our mind. We don't really want to be involved in this anymore. Not that they were lying, but we'll say, you know, sometimes a person realizes the severity of something and just says, I don't want this. To which the Gemara says, V'chi hajibu my havi, I don't stand. Witnesses can't recant. Kevan shehigid, shuv eino chozer umagid. They both say, the halacha by testimony is, once you give your testimony in Beis Din, you cannot recant. You cannot recant. What, again, remember, there's a vetting process. Once you pass the vetting process, your testimony is locked in. And even if you say, I recant, I changed my mind, I this, we don't believe you. To which the Gemara says, Lo tzicha, da afagav deka yoivi taimi limusayu. The Bo said, the key over here, this is actually quite amazing, where the witnesses came along and said, you know what, we lied. We lied. And we gave false testimony about Reuben and the guys about the executors. We don't like him. We dislike him immensely. We lied about it, and therefore again, we want to recant. They both say, you know, the halacha is, even if witnesses come back and say we lied, right, we do not believe them. Once ultimately, again, testimony has been vetted and accepted by Beis Din, the principle is, kevan shehigid shuv eno chozer umagid. Once ultimately, again, you've given testimony, you are not believed to retract, to recant, or to change that testimony. Therefore, I will say, even in a case like this, although the accused is making a dramatic statement, and the statement obviously was so dramatic, ultimately, again, that it jarred the Beis Din, it jarred the Edim, and the Edim wanted to change their testimony, the Beis Din said, listen, witnesses, you have an awesome responsibility on your shoulders. We truly hope you told the truth. In our eyes, you told the truth. But ultimately, again, the execution would continue. All right, we'll stop over here. Mir Hashem, we'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow morning. Shkoyach.